ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The great white shark immediately jaws. The 20th century's wonderful movie about a contest between a little community in Nantucket, Massachusetts, and a great white shark that was relentless. Not only relentless, but seemed to understand human beings, seemed to know who the enemy was and who the bystanders were. However, a great white shark in reality has much more to teach us, and I welcome Professor Chris Lowe. He's a professor of marine biology at Cal State Long Beach University in California. He's also the director of the Shark Lab. Chris and I have talked before about sharks, but now there's new information gathered by Chris and his grad student, Mr. Rex, Patrick Rex, about great white sharks in California. But before we go to the revelations, revelations that you, if you've ever spent time in a California beach, will be amazed to learn, we recover the great white shark. Chris, a very good evening to you. Thank you very much. Great white sharks are your friends until they're not. The movies present them as extremely dangerous. Jaws, for example, and other scary movies about what can happen to human beings who are thrown into shark-infested waters, such as during the Second World War. However, I learned from you that sharks are discerning creatures. They're always active. They're always moving. They might not sleep. At the same time, they feed on two particular choice creatures on our coastlines, seals and sea lions. Now, what, gray seals especially, what I learned from you is that when there are incidents on the East Coast, that would be where Jaws took place, Nantucket, Martha's Vineyard, along the East Coast, of, especially in New England, a shark moving against a human is making an accident because what he really wants is a seal or sea lion. Do I remember that correctly? Good evening to you, Professor.
Good evening, and thanks for having me. So, yes, you're remembering that correctly. We've been trying to figure out why sharks occasionally bite people, particularly white sharks, because when that happens, it's a big shark, and even a little bite from a big shark can do a lot of damage to a person. So the question is, why might they occasionally bite people? And one of our best hypotheses is that that's happening because they mistake us for their large favorite prey, which are seals. So if we're swimming in the same places where seals are hanging out, it's possible that sharks are mistaking us for those prey. So in some ways, we think based on the circumstances that those are plausible explanations for occasional bites. But they're not likely the only explanation. So there's always this debate.
The debate turns on not just their source of food, but how discerning they are about human beings. Now we go to my information. These are big creatures, and they mature comparably to how human beings mature. Chris tells me that a mature female is 14 years old. That's roughly equivalent to how civilization conducted itself in the Middle Ages or in the building of the Anglo-Saxon Empire that became the English Empire. 12, 13, 14 was a mature female, and the same for males. Now, sharks live a long time. How long, Chris? I forget what we could be looking at here.
So the best estimates is that white sharks can live to be over 70 years old. So that's a pretty long life for an aquatic animal, especially one that makes its life taking down big prey. It's a dangerous thing to do. So, but it's also a profitable thing to do because those seals are filled with fat. So it's a really good meal. If they're able to take down a big, healthy seal, that could last them a month or more.
Now, the puzzle here you present to me is how are sharks doing? I've been reading about birds, for example, and the devastation to the bird population worldwide from habitat destruction, from fertilizers and pesticides, insecticides abuse is catastrophic. Is that also happening with great white sharks?
Well, let's say it did. So let's say white sharks were impacted by some of the things that humans did. And the number one thing that we know that impacted white sharks was that they were being caught and killed in fisheries. In some cases, they're even being landed and people were eating white shark and didn't know it. So in California in 1994, the state passed protection for white sharks, which was kind of amazing. When you think about it, white sharks were responsible for biting and occasionally killing people. And yet the state had the wherewithal to protect them because they recognized their ecological importance. So since then, we've seen white shark population come back.
I learned from you and from articles about your work that since 1950 to 2022, 209, over 200 events between humans and sharks. What characterizes an event? What has to happen?
So in the old days, we used to call them shark attacks. And we don't really call them attacks anymore because we can't characterize it as an attack. We don't know the motivation of the animal. We just know the animal might have bumped or bitten somebody. So that's what characterizes an event. An event is if a shark makes direct contact with a person or bites a person. And sometimes those bites can be fatal. So all of those would be considered an incident or an event.
All right. We're looking at, my calculation is that's more than a few a month. And there's reason to concern yourself because this is a very large creature, about twice, maybe more, the size of a human being when they're fully grown. And they're clearly aggressive if they're feeding. Now we come back to California, which has a beautiful coastline and rolling breakers and lots of people who are skilled on surfboards and some who are just learning. The revelation here is sharks and surfers, but sharks and swimmers too. I learned from you and your graduate student, Patrick Rex, that using drones, you've discovered something you probably knew, but the rest of us didn't. What is it, Chris?
So we've been telling people for years, if you spend any appreciable time in the ocean off California, a white shark swam by you and you probably didn't know it. And people would give me an odd look like, oh, I don't know if that makes me feel good or not. But we have to remind them that that bites in California are extremely rare. So we have on average anywhere from 0 to 7 bites a year in California. And that number has gone up a tiny bit over the last 15 years, but by and large, it's been relatively stable. What we never were able to calculate was how many people were going in the water. So what my grad student Patrick did was he was flying drone surveys along public beaches just to figure out how many people are in the water, how far were they offshore, what were they doing? And then we could see sharks. And then we could ask how often were people in close proximity to sharks. And his results were amazing. For the first time, we could actually determine how often people and sharks were together. And at places where juvenile white sharks aggregate at specific beaches, those interactions were happening every single day. There were sharks swimming right by surfers and swimmers who didn't even know the sharks were there, but we could see them from the air. And we were able to quantify that for the very first time.
You said junior sharks. What does that mean?
So these are juvenile white sharks. These are sharks that haven't reached maturity yet. And we're studying why they hang out at beaches. So it turns out we think they use certain beaches as nursery schools. So this is a place where they come, they hang out. When they're born, they get no parental care. They're completely on their own. And they should be afraid of everything. So by coming to the shallow beach, it's a safe place for them. And if they're going to spend a lot of time there because it's safe, the water's warmer. That helps them grow faster. But they also have to have plenty of food. And the number one thing we find in these areas are lots of stingrays. And we even call them pancakes in Southern California. So our round stingrays, there are hundreds of thousands of them. And these sharks eat those stingrays. They're the easy first meal for them. So we think these are the reasons that attract them to certain beaches. And by tagging and following those sharks, we know that they'll spend weeks to months at one of these aggregation sites.
This is discordant with what I thought I had learned about the sharks on the East Coast, that mistake a seal or a sea lion, gray seal, for a human being in a wetsuit. Now, I've seen plenty of wetsuits in California surfing, especially in out of season. Do the juveniles not mistake the way the mature do in the East Coast?
Well, so the juveniles are pretty much still afraid of big things. So they tend to avoid big things. And they're not skilled enough to start to target marine mammals. In fact, from our drone survey, we saw cases where seals and dolphins were harassing the young sharks and chasing them around. So the young sharks are actually scared of the seals and sea lions. But after they get to be about 10 feet long is when they start realizing they're big enough, they're powerful enough, that they might have a chance of successfully catching one of those seals or dolphins. But it might take them years to learn how to do that. Now, the thing we have to remember is on the East Coast, it's a different situation. The sharks that are at those beaches aren't juveniles. They're adults. And they're there because there are seals on those beaches. Those seals are hauling out there. They're using that habitat. And the sharks know that those seals have to move back and forth between offshore to feed and those beaches to rest. So they're taking advantage of those prey. So in a way, it's a very different situation than what we see in Southern California, where we primarily have juveniles at our beaches.
The juveniles, do they have favorite spots like the nursery that they all go to every morning, you know, preschool with a sandbox and slides?
Yeah, but they never leave the school. They're there days in, day in, day out for weeks to months at a time. They're just swimming back and forth along those beaches. And the most that we've seen is 40 juvenile white sharks at the same beach at the same time. Now, what's curious is they seem to be kind of social, but not really like to be right next to each other. So they all kind of hang out in the same area, but they do. There is a pecking order. Bigger ones kind of rule the playground and the smaller ones move out of their way. So the question is, why do they do this? And how long will that aggregation site stay there? Because we know that those areas go cold and then a new area will become a new hot spot. So the question is, what makes a good nursery? How long will it be a good nursery? And where will the next nursery be?
You can identify these nursery spots up and down the coast and chart that information?
Absolutely. And this is where drones come in. So we can fly drone surveys along the beaches, and it's really easy to see those sharks swimming along a beach. So typically, when we're flying drone surveys along Southern California beaches, if we see one juvenile white shark, there's a much higher probability that we're going to see more than one, unless it's just passing through that area. So the other tool that we used to do that is we've tagged over 200 sharks with acoustic transmitters. These are transmitters that hang off their backs that produce a sound wave that travels through the water. And when they get about 300 yards from one of our underwater receivers that are all along California beaches, those receivers long the time, the date, and the ID number of the shark. So it's kind of like easy pass on the freeway where we can, almost like tolls, we can keep track of who's moving where and when. Okay. And by using that technology and the drones, we've been able to figure out where the nurseries are and how many sharks move between the nurseries.
California has a very sophisticated lifeguard apparatus, very sophisticated, highly trained, well paid. Do they want to know this information? I mean, I can see, please don't feed the bears. Coyotes will come down to the beach. And by the way, there are 50 sharks out there.
Absolutely. In fact, when we first started doing this research, the lifeguards came to us and said, what do we do? There are all these white sharks off our beaches. Is it safe for people to be in the water? And we said, we don't know. We've never really seen this before. We haven't studied this before. So they actually became our research partners. And you're absolutely right. California has some of the best lifeguards in the world. They're some of the best trained. They're full-time lifeguards. And they're constantly working with people on the beach to keep them safe. And the thing that people have to remember is California beaches are used year-round.
Yeah.
There are people on them all year-round. So they were obviously very worried about these situations. They even tried chasing the sharks away using jet skis. Sharks didn't care. It was their beach. They weren't going to give up their beach. So it was working with us and us sharing the data with them, teaching them how to interpret the data, that they began to realize, well, wait a minute, the sharks are out there all the time. People aren't reporting seeing them. We know they're there because you detect them. We see the data. So we're not going to close the beach. We're going to post signs warning people that there are sharks out there, but we're not going to pull people out of the water because they don't seem to be bothering anybody.
I'm speaking to Chris Lowe, professor of marine biology, Cal State Long Beach, director of the Shark Lab. We're speaking of revelations of the great white shark. When we come back, climate change and the great white shark. This is CBSi on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBSi on the World with John Batchelor.
Experience the freedom of finding the one at Haverty's. Right now, everything is on sale, from sofas, sectionals, bedroom furniture, and more. Come find your style and celebrate this summer at Haverty's, online or in Columbus at Polaris.
10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 30% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.